Again, 1 Kings. We're only going to stay here for a little while. 1 Kings, and we're looking in chapter number 15 is where we're going to start at tonight. I know we're a little bit farther along in the service. I guess I talked a little bit too much tonight, but it's all good. 1 Kings chapter number 15, and we're going to look a little bit about a man named King Asa. And as we look at this, there's a bigger story told in 2 Chronicles. So we're going to introduce it here. We're going to head to 2 Chronicles. It's talking about one of the good kings. And as we come, he was the first good king of Judah. You say, well, what about David? David was king over the whole nation. Solomon, for those years, he was a king over all nations. But when Rehoboam came on the scene, Rehoboam did wicked things. And we see Rehoboam's son had followed in his footsteps, and he was doing wicked things. And now we see there's finally a good king that's coming on the scene. And tonight, the lesson or the story, the message, whatever you want to call it, it's following God all the way to the end. Remember back when we looked at Solomon? First half, he did really well. Second half, he did horrible. We talked about those, all those great comebacks and all those overcomers. But always when there's a great comeback in sports, that means somebody had to lose by a lot. It means that somebody failed, somebody did really bad. And Solomon, he did really bad in the second half of his life. And we talked about how those women and those wives and concubines caused to turn his heart away from the Lord. And here, the same thing at a smaller part with Asa. He's somebody who lived for God, did a lot of great things, but at the end of his life, not at the end of his life, but when he was faced with another great challenge, instead of looking to the Lord, he decided to look outside for help. And God wasn't pleased with that. But Asa did a good thing. You can see some of the things that are written about him. And as we look at this, the challenge of 1 Kings is there's so many different kings. There's some that's in Israel. There's some in Judah. And they write them side by side. So you're going to see that. And they tell them chronologically, like it says in verse number 1, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam. So they specifically says, in the 18th year. Now he reigns, I think, about 20 years. But in the 18th year, the son of Nebat reigned Abijam over Judah. So you see here that this Abijam has come onto the scene. He's the son of Nebat, and he is doing Judah. So right now, they're running parallel. The first 18th, 19th, and 20th year, Abijam is king over Judah, and Jeroboam is king over Israel. And it gets a little confusing sometimes, but they do that on purpose. They run them side by side. Verse number two says, 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Now, 3 years is not very long. And to be honest with you, when you're a bad king, usually it's cut off pretty short, especially if you're in the area of Judah. There was four other kings that served for less than four of those 3 years, and I believe there were seven kings altogether that served for less than 3 years, because it was not, if you weren't going to serve the Lord, it was not a good occupation to have. Everybody says, great, I'm king, I can do whatever I want. If you're only going to do it for 3 years, I might as well be something else and live a long life. But these guys, because they didn't serve the Lord, their life was taken shorter. And his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. Now, this lady is mentioned here, and you'll see that sometimes God lines it up and mentions the mother's names with the kings. Now, why is that? When a lady is the queen, she stays the queen and continues on being a queen. And this tradition is lifted up in a high-ranking position. And even though the husband maybe passed away, even though she was still there, she wasn't the one running things, but she did have great influence. Now, some commentators think because of the different people that Nebat married and the different things in Rehoboam's history that Abishalom was another name for Absalom. I don't know if that's 100% sure or not, but I found that interesting in my studies. But we know this lady, Maachah, and he walked, and this is talking about Abijam, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord as the heart of David his father. So nevertheless, for David's sake, so he didn't do what was right. Because of that, God ended his reign early. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. I want you to see here, now you see where he says set his son. The Jewish tradition and Jewish history is many times when you see these genealogies or you see them talking about it, David didn't father any of these kids. David fathered Solomon, and Solomon fathered Rehoboam and Rehoboam, but they still call him the father David because of him being the patriarch in the family. And even with this woman here, you're going to see here in a second about this Machah lady, when you get to Asa, they're going to say it was his mother too. Well, it's because of the position she had still was queen, but it was really Asa's grandmother. Now that everybody's confused, we'll keep on going. For David's sake here, God allows them to be a throne that is established and is going to be forever. That's in Judah. That's going to be until Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, he's going to be the ruler and reigning. That's what happened. You can trace it all the way back to Jesus. But now you don't see a king that's in Judah. Why is that? Because the king came. No more king that's needed. And yes, someday he'll come back and he'll rule and reign altogether. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So we see here the compliment that's given by David. David was a great guy. David did a lot of great things. He did sin. We know that. He did some stupid things. But he was the physical standard. He was the one that God said, I want you to have the heart that David had, because David had an awesome heart for God. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. All the days of whose life is he talking about? Now remember, we're still talking about this man, this king that was brought up at the beginning in verse number one, Abijam. Now, there's a civil war that happens for many years. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, they deplete each other's resources, they make each other weaker, and because of that, that leaves things open for the surrounding nations. If somehow they could just learn to get along, they could have probably prospered and gotten stronger. Verse number 7, now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there is some more things that talk about his army and talk about the defeat that he had over Jeroboam at one point in time. And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. So we're coming to learn a little bit about this man, Asa. And the 20th year, Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. So there you go. Jeroboam's still the one in charge there. Asa comes on the scene. And it says, and for 41 years he reigned in Jerusalem. He reigned in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Machah, the daughter of Absalom. He's like, well, that's kind of weird. He married, you know, no, it's the same woman. It's just given, just like they say, that like your father David in the next verse, it's just giving the proper perspective this era. She is the grandmother. Now, 41 years, you say, Pastor, you said nobody lives that long as a king. Well, Asa was a good king, and Asa served the Lord. And because of that, God allowed him to have a longer life. And it says in verse number 11, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as David his father. Now, we are not always going to do this, but we're going to go to 2 Chronicles and hear the story of Asa, because it's not written, there's only probably 10 verses to 12 verses written here in this chapter, and there's three chapters in 2 Chronicles. Now, we're not going to switch back and forth all the time, but I like the story of Asa. I think there's some things we can learn from it. So let's take our Bibles now to 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14 is the same. He's a contemporary writer. He said, what does that mean? That means it is written during the same time period. You're going to see here that Abijah, he said, well, it says Abijam at the other one. It's the same guy. Abijah slept with his father. So you're picking up at the exact same time that we moved from 2 Kings chapter number 15. So in 2 Chronicles 14, it says, so Abijah slept with his fathers, which means he died and buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. So you see there was peace there for 10 years. And if you're serving the Lord, God can make peace happen. I heard Brother Todd singing, and he's talking about the peace that we can have as a nation, but also a peace that we can have as a family. And he was talking about the church family, and that we can have peace in our life if we'll surrender ourselves to God. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord of their fathers and to do the law and the judgment. And he started off really, really well. Also, verse number 5, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities. And remember, beforehand, what's happening is the nation of Israel versus the nation of Judah, they're fighting. So anytime there's war, anytime there's fighting, there's trauma, there is the breaking down of resources, and you're doing everything you can to survive. Here, since there's peace, he begins to do and begins to build things up. Let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he have given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now, the prosperity has something to do with living for God, and it has something to do with taking care of God's city. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 240,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And they came out, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian. Now, so we see there's an army that's getting ready to attack Asa in the first battle that we're aware of. And it says there was peace up to this time. Now, look at this army. With a host of 1,000,000. And what most people believe, that 1,000 means 1,000,000. And so up here you got one army that has 1,000,000 people versus up here has 580,000 people, almost twice as big. And they come to Judah and 300 chariots and came to Marisha. Then Asa went out against them, and they set battle in an array in the valley of Zephthah and in Marisha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing. And look at the prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. And you see his dependence is upon God. And you're going to see how God comes in and he helps fight the battle for them. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. And isn't that great when we say, God, you know, this bill I have seems like it's so expensive. This problem I have seems so bad. But God, it would be nothing for you to fix this. It'd be nothing. That's believing and trusting that God can do it. And as we believe and trust that God can do it, we can leave it with him. Then you say, well, Pastor, what if he doesn't do it? Well, then God's got a different plan. God's got a different purpose. But I like the way he starts the prayer here. It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. And he said, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against the multitude. He says, look, we're resting in you, and we by faith, we're going against this multitude. He's not saying we rest in you and sending some type of peace treaty. He's saying, look, we rest in you, and we are moving forward. And so that's the idea here, is that we rest in the Lord, we have faith in God, and then we move forward in what he wants us to do. And it says, in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. For sake of time, we're not going to read the rest of the chapter. It talks about how the Israelites do their part. They chase them, they spoil the lands, and they defeat the Ethiopians. Now I'll go to chapter number 15. Chapter number 15, just like Solomon. Remember what happened with Solomon about the halfway point? He had done really well. There was a prophet that came to him, and he reminded him. And he says, make sure you keep on living for God. Make sure you give everything over to the Lord. Make sure you continue on serving God. It didn't seem like Solomon needed it, but Solomon did need to hear it because he rebels against it. Sometimes we think, I don't need to hear any more preaching. I don't need to be reminded of these things. But the truth is, we need to continually hear these things because many of us struggle with falling back. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa. Now, when it says he went out to meet him, it could have been when he was coming back from the battle. It could have been later on. But he's coming back in a time of prosperity. And all of Judah and Benjamin, he says, I want all of you to listen. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now look at it. This is wonderful. He's like, look, as long as you're with God, as long as you're on God's side, he's going to be with you. And the great thing is, if you seek God, if you seek him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find him. And the amazing things in our Christian lives today is, do we truly seek after him? He's there, he's available, he's made his promises, but so often we don't take the time to seek him. But then he says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And now for a long season, Israel have been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they are in their trouble, I believe this is still the prophet speaking, but when they were in trouble, they turned unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him. He was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. When they forgot God, he's reminding, look, when you forget God, this is what's going to happen. And nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all adversary. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. Now you say, wait, in verse number one, it says Azariah, the son of Oded. And down here he says, now this is could be a portion of what Oded also had in the prophecy too. The prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of all the cities which had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. So you see there's some tribes there that is going over to Judah because this man is following the Lord. They fell out to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with them. So when they saw Asa serving God, there's some that left to go to be part of Judah. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. So this is why you would think it was after the battle. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their souls. Okay, so we're going to now go to chapter 16. We're trying to look at this man's story. He's doing really well as king, and God has protected him. And it's really easy to have something when God's done something great. When there's a great praise, it's easy to want to serve. And it's great to say, let's go sacrifice. Let's do all these things. But there's another battle that happens here. And chapter number 16 is later on in life. This is years later. And what's going to happen here, Asa, instead of crying out to God like he did in chapter 14 and like he did in verse number 11 and God responding to it, instead he turns to a Gentile source to try to fix the problem. So it says at the end of chapter 15, verse number 19, it says, and there was no war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So we saw from year 10 about to year 35, there was peace. God bless, and God will always bless those that seek him and that walk in his ways. Chapter 16, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So he's building up a spot so no one can get into Judah because he was tired of his people going over to Judah. And Asa brought out silver and gold and out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to them Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. So I want you to notice here, this is interesting. So he's there. This king comes up and starts causing very hard problems for him. Asa cannot defend himself, supposedly, here. So he takes of the treasures of the house of God. He takes those things that have been sacrificed and sanctified for the house of God, the gold and silver, and he sends him over to Ben-Hadad, and he's going to try to buy protection. Verse number 3, there was a league between me and thee, he's saying this to Ben-Hadad, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Now go, break thy league with Baasha, the king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king of Asa and sent the captains of the armies against the city of Israel and smote Ijon and Dan and Abinah and the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that they left off building of Ramah and left his work cease. So in all reality, he did do what he wanted to. He got the king of Israel to leave, and it came to, and at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa the king. So another prophet comes. And he says unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is a host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. He says, you're not going to be able to have victory like you could have had. You're not going to be able to have the conquering spirit that God had intended for you. Verse number 8, he asked an interesting question. Were not the Ethiopians and Elohims a huge host? And we know it was over 1 million people that was in that battle. And it was with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out of thine hand. He's saying, was that not enough for you? He says, remember back then when you fought the Ethiopians? Remember when they were there and they were coming? There was 1 million versus your 500,000. And God, you cried out to God and God delivered you. Don't you remember that? But now because you've forsaken God and you choose to do something else, and you choose to look for other places for your support and choose to try to find a different way to get peace and get help, God's not going to bless you anymore. You're not going to reach the goals that God had planned for you. And he says that the whole, so it may sound like that he was going to be able to have the opportunity to conquer Syria, or at least be able to overcome the battles that they were going to have with Syria. And he says, no, that's not going to happen anymore. Why is that? It's because you didn't remember. Now, this is the application. The main application for tonight is we forget. We can trust God for our salvation. We think it's good enough and he's strong enough to keep us out of hell and preserve our soul for all eternity. But when we come up with something else and come across something else that pales in comparison, we forget. And we try to do the outside sources. We send our goods. We send maybe, it's sort of like taking the money that you know God wants you to give to the church and trying to fix a problem that you have. So that's exactly what happened. He took the things that were sanctified for God's house and he tried to fix a problem that God could have fixed if he would have trusted and if he had faith. That next verse is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And it just, it's clear, it's plain, and it shows us, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And the seer is saying, God blessed you for 25 years. You had no fighting. For the first 10 years, you had no fighting. God had blessed you unlike any other king of Judah. He didn't do it for Rehoboam. He didn't do it for Nabat. He didn't do it for Adacham. And now he's there and he's saying, God blessed you. And he looked and he found something in you. He found something in your heart that he could bless. And he showed himself strong. He showed himself strong to all the Ethiopians. They knew that there was someone who was fighting that battle besides just the Judah and Benjamin. They knew, and God wants to make himself strong in your heart. God wants to make himself strong in your life if you will allow your heart to be right with him. And I love that. It says, herein thou hast done foolishly. His heart no longer was where it was supposed to be. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. You're going to have to fight battles now. You've messed up. You're going to have to pay the result of it. Now, look at Asa's response. Like we talked about, what would be the good response? Chapter 15, he responded by saying, okay, let's go ahead and start living for God. They went and conquered all their sacrifices. It was 10 years. It was a great battle. Everybody was rejoicing. They had all these extra animals. Everything was going great. Now at year 36, this king of Israel was coming and building something, and he didn't feel like he could stop him. He didn't trust the Lord for it. And so instead, he turns his back and does and goes somewhere else. And the point is that those years, God was able to help with the Ethiopians. God could have helped with that if he would have cried out to God. But look how Asa responds. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. He's mad at him. Ever get somebody get mad at you for telling you the truth? It drives me crazy when you have to try to encourage somebody and correct somebody. I think most of you know my heart. I'm not very hard-nosed or tough with most people. I try to, some preachers thrive on, I guess, beating people over the head with things. That's not me. I don't even like correcting people. My wife or my sons might say that differently, but that's not really my nature. I prefer to work things out and try to do it in a nice way, but there's sometimes when people get mad at you, no matter how kind you are. Truth is truth, and sometimes people are not going to like it, and sometimes people do not like it when the truth is presented to them. Make sure that's not you. Make sure you listen to the things that are being said, prayerfully consider. If it's a correction that is not right or truthful, speak up. We should speak up for the truth. We should speak up for the gospel. We should speak up for the things of God. But at the same time, there, you know, he got wroth with the seer. Why? The seer told him the truth. The seer told him what God told him to tell him. And he says, and put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. Now, Asa had done wrong. He knew he'd done wrong. He gets corrected. And now, instead of repenting, he becomes enraged. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. Diseased in his feet. I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord. It seems like at year 36 here, he depends on Ben-Hadad, probably year 37 by the time the war's done. This happens to him at year 39, and he forgets God. And you can see him maybe as a bitter, angry person with his feet propped up or his feet wrapped, and it still says he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. He didn't learn it. There was a lesson there he could have learned, but instead he became wroth with the preacher. Came wroth with the truth. So what do we learn? So much to learn from there. God will bless you. God will bless. I'm not talking about you're going to get rich. That's not what the Bible's saying here. But he wants to show himself strong. I don't know about you, but that's my desire. Not for my glory, but for God's glory. Asa shouldn't have got the glory if he did over those Ethiopians. Only God fought that battle for them, and they knew that. That God can take your life and he can show himself strong in your life. He can say, that's a person God is working through. That's a person God is moving for. But what is the thing that makes that happen? On behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, let's think about this one thing. He's not saying, hey, I'm going to take everybody who has their heart right with me and perfect toward me, throw them in a bowl and draw their name out. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says he's looking for people like that. He's looking to and fro. He is trying to find somebody like that so he can bless them. And he's saying he's having trouble to find those people. He's looking for somebody that he can use and show himself strong in. But there's people's hearts aren't all the way right. And that's my prayer, is that God will show himself strong through my life. And I want my heart to be right and perfect towards him. Also, he did so well for those years. Sometimes towards the end, when another challenge comes up, we've trusted him all along, and there's something else we kind of stop trusting him about. Maybe there's something we need to get right with God and say, I've been a little grumpy, been a little bit angry. He says he oppressed the people. I've been mad at people and made people feel bad, but I want to get my heart right. I don't want to be like Asa. I want to turn to God. I see God's hand of judgment on my life. I see where God is punishing me a little bit. I see where God's not blessing me like I thought he could or like he should. But I see there's something in my heart, in my life, that I need to turn from. And I need to seek the Lord. That's a very sad verse, that in the 39th year of his reign, for 36 years he followed God, and God provided miraculously for him. Then he got angry and mad at God and refused to ask God for help. Don't let that happen to you. Trust God in all the things, and he'll lead you and he'll direct you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.